Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter in verse 7, it says, "But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also." And the grace that he's talking about there is the grace of giving, to be a giver. He wants us to grow in that. Let me read it from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible says it this way: "But just as you excel in everything," excel in every area of life. Do you have a vision to succeed and excel and abound in every area of life? Spiritually, morally, ministry, physically, mentally, socially, materially, recreationally. These are all areas we need to be developing in, growing in, excelling in. "As you excel in everything and lead the way in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in genuine concern, and in your love for us, see that you excel in this gracious work of giving also." Somebody say, "I want to excel." In other words, we don't want to just stay the same. If we don't have a vision to excel in these areas, to excel in life, then we're not going to go anywhere except actually backwards. Because how many of you know the world is working against us? There's a current that is in this world that would take us in the opposite direction that God would have us to go. Instead of excelling, it would like to diminish us more and more and more, especially being members of the body of Christ. We have an enemy in this world. Our lives are now contrary to the course of this world, according to the God of this world, which we know to be Satan. So we're not flowing with him anymore. We're going against the stream. So if we just kick it in neutral, if we go idle, then we are going to go backwards. The current is going to move us backwards if we don't move ourselves forward in the grace of God. So we need to take hold of the grace of God and grow and develop and get stronger and stronger and stronger and excel in every area of life. And one of the greatest hindrances to our excelling in life is a thing known as laziness. Has anybody experienced laziness? Don't shout me down now. Yeah, we all have experienced and dealt with laziness. And laziness would try to keep us back from what God has for us, try to keep us from excelling in life. So tonight we want to talk about overcoming laziness. Over in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4, it says, "The lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing." He will not plow. Laziness keeps him from going out there and plowing the field. Maybe tomorrow we'll do it. Laziness likes to put things off. Likes to put things off to another time. And so next thing you know, he misses his moment. He misses his harvest. And I wonder how many people have missed their harvest, or how many harvests have been missed by folks because of laziness. Laziness has kept people from going out and getting what was available to them. You know, there's a seed time and there's a harvest time. And a lot of people whine and complain about not seeing their harvest. You know, I've sown and I'm not seeing my harvest. Could be laziness. Laziness could be keeping us from gathering in the harvest that God has for us. You know, again, I'm reminded of something Oral Roberts said years ago. He said, you're either experiencing a miracle, harvest, or one's passing you by. We're either experiencing one or one's passing us by. I wonder how many harvests have passed us by. I wonder how many harvests we've just missed out on just simply because of laziness. Laziness. What is laziness? The quality of being unwilling to work or use energy. Some synonyms: idleness, slothfulness, sluggishness, dullness, heaviness. Everybody say heaviness. 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 I believe whenever someone falls short of excelling in any of these eight areas that we are to be excelling in life, it's because of laziness. Laziness is there at work. Laziness, perhaps it's in the background, but you'll always find whenever there's a failure in these areas, spiritually, morally, ministerially, ministry, physically, mentally, and all these things, rest assured, laziness is somewhere in the mix causing it. Because laziness is diligently at work, keeping people from diligently working. Did you get that? Laziness is diligently at work, keeping people from diligently working. Now, when you look at it that way, then you come to understand laziness is an enemy, and laziness is an evil spirit. And that's what we need to understand. Laziness is an evil spirit. Are there any scriptures for that? Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 61. In order to overcome laziness, we got to be able to identify the source. I don't know why I'm like this. I don't know why I just can't get up and go. I just don't know why I feel so lazy. Well, notice what it says here in Isaiah 61, verse 3. It talks about the anointing of the Lord is upon me. The anointing of the Lord is upon me to do some things. Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion. Well, today that'd be the church. To give them beauty for ashes. That's what the anointing upon a preacher will do for you. Give you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Notice that. The spirit of heaviness. I just told you some definitions and synonyms of laziness, and one of them was heaviness. Heaviness. Laziness is heaviness. Here, Isaiah talks about a spirit of heaviness. So we could say a spirit of laziness. A spirit of laziness. I looked up this word heaviness in the original Hebrew language, and it means to grow weak, dim, dull, just like we just were defining when we defined laziness. Faint or to be weak. Dim, dull, faint, to be darkened. Be restrained. Be restrained, like something holding you back, something holding you down, a spirit that will restrain you from doing what's in your heart to do, a spirit that will hold you down, cause you to fail, to despond, be despondent, which means to be in low spirits, from loss of hope or courage, loss of spirit, loss of spirit, from loss of hope or courage, disheartened, discouraged, dispirited, downhearted, low-spirited, in low spirits, hopeless, oppressed, melancholy, gloomy, glum, depressed, dejected, distressed. Laziness, heaviness, is an evil spirit. It's an evil spirit. See, a lot of folks don't realize that. And so here in dealing with all this heaviness, being lethargic, dull, dim, gloomy, depressed, weak, faint, just feel like not doing anything, just want to lie down, always tired, just don't have the energy, don't have the desire, don't have the will to work. The Bible says it's a spirit. It's a spirit. Now, of course, it says put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Thank God, when we start praising God, demons got to go. Remember David, when he would just start playing on that harp, and that troubling spirit that was upon King Saul would have to go. See, it was oppressing that man. It was oppressing him. But when he began to praise God and minister to the Lord in music, the evil spirits left. Evil spirits don't like praise and worship. They don't like praise and worship because you begin to lift up God. When you begin to lift up God, you begin to bring yourself up out of that lazy, lethargic spirit of heaviness. Now, just being tired or feeling low on energy may not be due to a spirit of laziness. Just, you know, there'll be times where you just feel tired. You just need to take a nap. You need to take yourself a little cat nap. I like to tell people, drink more water. You know, I find that when I get dehydrated, I start getting tired. If I start getting tired, I start looking for the water. And when I drink water, it's amazing, I'll revive. Didn't have to take authority over the devil. I was just dehydrated. See, you got to understand this. Now, there's a balance to these things. We got to understand when we're dealing with a spirit of laziness. And when we're just tired, we need a nap, we need some water, maybe we need to get some cardio going, you know, get to exercising, do a little jumping jacks or something, get your blood circulating, open the window, get some fresh air. Anybody get any fresh air today? You know, change your diet, change what you're eating. If you're just putting junk in, if you're just putting junk food in there, well, your body doesn't have any energy to burn, you know. Maybe you're just jacking your body up too much with caffeine, and then it's coming down. Well, the devil might lead you to do that. But sometimes we just need to change some things in our diet. Sometimes we just need to change some things that we're doing. Sometimes we just need to take a 10-minute nap. And it's amazing how you can be refreshed or revived. And the devil had nothing to do with it. Spirits of laziness and heaviness will not go away after a cat nap. They will persist, and it will continue. So sometimes you just need to reboot your system, take a nap, and sometimes you need to rebuke a spirit. You need to know the difference. Do I need to just reboot the system, or do I need to rebuke a spirit? Got to be able to know the difference. And tonight I believe we're going to help identify the difference. You know, you think about when it comes to this spirit of laziness and heaviness, it's more of a mindset and an attitude of the heart. Notice when we look at that word heaviness and define despondent, low spirits from loss of hope or courage, disheartened. This is all dealing with the inside of you. This isn't just dealing with you physically. This is going deeper than just physical. Low-spirited, low spirits. Going deeper than just a physical problem. Well, when you look over at Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4, it says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Now, the word I want you to recognize there is the word soul. Soul. Notice, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. See, laziness is not just physical. Your very soul is slothful. It's not just you didn't get enough sleep. It's not just your diet. It's something deeper than that. It's the condition of your heart, the condition of your soul. You know, you take, for example, children. How many people know children, generally speaking, have a lot of energy? I mean, they're jumping around and they're active, and I mean, you just can't get them to stop, you know. But then the moment you give them some work to do, it's amazing how they just shut down. They just shut down. Isn't that the most interesting thing? See, are they tired? Huh. Comes to work, whether it's homework, housework, whatever kind of work you want to give them, they don't have energy. They're exhausted. Why are they so exhausted with work? And yet, when it comes to fun things, they're not exhausted. They're not tired. That's why I always say the cure for a lazy person is electronics, entertainment, something fun. Television. I mean, they'll just come alive. It's like sniffy salt, you know. They just come alive. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? That they have all the energy for all kinds of really worthless things, empty things, vain things. Play is a vain thing. And yet when it comes to things with substance, things that are important, they don't have energy. They're worn out. They just don't have what it takes. How is that? It's a spirit. It's a spirit. It's a condition of their soul, and there's a spirit behind that. And we need to understand that, because Jesus came and gave us authority over evil spirits. He gave us authority over evil spirits. Now, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 4. Verse 1, it says, "And when Saul's son heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost heart, and all Israel was troubled." Now, where it says lost heart, in my margin, it says his hands dropped. And again, notice, lost heart. So Abner was the commander of his army, and he was the son of Saul. After Saul had died, was trying to be king of Israel, was trying to succeed his father. And meanwhile, King David wasn't quite king yet, but was to be king, anointed of God to be king, was growing stronger and stronger and stronger with his men. And so now Saul's son's commander has died. And when that happened, he lost all hope of succeeding. He knew he was in trouble. He knew he was in big trouble. And look what happened. He lost heart. By margin says, his hands dropped. Isn't that interesting? Lost heart, hands dropped. It was a physical reaction to what happened inside him. He lost hope. He lost his vision for his life. He lost his vision to be king of this nation. He didn't feel there was any chance of succeeding at this point. And then notice, jump down to verse 5. "Then the sons of Rimmon, the Berethite, Rechab, and Benah set out and came at about the heat of the day to the house of Ibbesheth, who was lying on his bed at noon." Huh? Now this is Ibbesheth. This is the son of Saul, who lost heart. His hands dropped. What's he doing in the middle of the afternoon? What's the king doing in the middle of the afternoon? He's lying on his bed. He's lying on his bed. He's got no energy. He's got no will to work or to do anything. Verse 6 says, and they came there all the way into the house as though to get wheat, and they stabbed him in the stomach. Then Rachab and Ben-Ai, his brother, escaped. For when they came into the house, he was lying on his bed. He was lying on his bed. He was lying on his bed in his bedroom. And they struck him and killed him and beheaded him and took his head and were all night escaping through the plain. That's what laziness will get you. Laziness will get you in trouble. But no, he's lying on his bed in the middle of the afternoon. Where was his energy? Where was his strength? He had lost it. Why? He didn't get enough sleep the night before? No. He had lost heart. He had lost heart. It was a condition of his soul, of his heart. Hopelessness will open the door to laziness, which will snap the life and strength out of you. You lose your vision, you lose hope, and laziness will be right there to attach itself to you and just take your strength from you, and you'll just be lifeless. Has anybody experienced that before? Yeah, you're just lifeless. You don't feel like anything is worth doing. There's nothing worth working for, fighting for. You just have a give-up attitude. If you stop believing you can succeed, you will stop working to achieve and become gripped by laziness. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15 says, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Notice that. Laziness will do this to a person. It'll cast them into a deep sleep. You know, Christians are called to cast out devils. We're called to cast out devils. And yet here we see how this evil spirit of laziness will cast Christians and anybody else into a deep sleep. So either the devil's casting us into a deep sleep or we're casting him out. Thank God we could cast him out. We need to rise up in the authority of the name of Jesus and resist this spirit of laziness that is a twin brother with hopelessness. And just try to come along and just try to take the strength and life right out of us. Proverbs 6, verse 9. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? Notice Saul's son lying there on his bed at noon. Just couldn't get up. Had no motivation to do anything. Lost his motivation. Lost his strength. And here he's saying, how long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? Laziness likes to keep you asleep. Likes to keep you lying around. Lazy, lying around. Now again, there's times where you need a break. You need to rest, relax, take it easy. There's times for that. But this isn't just a moment of physical R&R. This is oppression. This is demonic oppression. This is something that is holding you down and holding you back from the things that you have in your heart to do. Proverbs 26:14. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. About all they could do. Most strength they have is just to turn over. Even that's sometimes tough. Have to turn over in the bed. It's so hard. But notice, what happened to this man? What happened to this king? Well, he was a fear of what was going to happen to him now. Now that his commander was gone, he feared what was going to happen. And so he didn't want to go out and do anything. He was afraid to go and do anything. Well, Proverbs 21, verse 25 says, the desire of a lazy man kills him, and his hands refuse to labor. I'm going to read it from the ERV translation. Lazy people will cause their own destruction because they refuse to work. Laziness, lazy people cause their own destruction. See, if the devil can get us to yield to laziness, then the very thing we're hiding from won't be the very thing that destroys us after all. It'll be our own laziness. Our own laziness will destroy us. Proverbs 22:13 says, the lazy man says, there is a lion outside, I shall be slain in the streets. Now, why would a lazy man say, there's a lion outside, I shall be slain in the streets? What is the Bible trying to tell us here? Because laziness is afraid of what's going to happen next. So it doesn't want to do anything. It's afraid to go get that job. Because it's afraid, I don't know, they're not going to be able to get the job. Somebody's going to bite them out in the street. They don't want to make that phone call. Because they're afraid of what's going to happen on the other end of the phone. The fear of man. The fear of the unknown. Fear that they might not say the right thing. The fear that they might not do the right thing. So I just won't do anything. Because I'm afraid of not doing the right thing. I just won't do anything right now. There's a lion in the street. We're all going to be devoured. Fear. Fear. Laziness and fear are connected to each other. He says it again in Proverbs 26:13. The lazy man says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. There's a lion out there. Lions and tigers and bears. They're worried. They're worried about what's going to happen. They're worried that they're not going to do the right thing. Fear of failure. Fearing for your life. Worried about your life. Will cause you to not move forward. Will cause you to wait, delay, and just rest and lie back and watch another episode of As the World Turns. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. When you find your hands have dropped, your knees have become feeble, you're fearful, you're worried about your life, so that you're not moving forward, you're not taking the initiative, laziness has gripped you, what does he tell you to do? Strengthen your hands which hang down. And the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Resist it. Resist it. Resist it and overcome it. Thank God we can overcome it. Amen. I just had something just the other day happen. And man, my head just felt cloudy. And I'm thinking, all right, well, I'm starting thinking, well, maybe it's what I didn't eat. I ate good. No, I've been drinking water. I've gotten plenty of sleep. Can't be any of these things. I narrowed it down. It's the devil. I said, no, this is just the devil. I'm going to resist it. I said, I resist you in Jesus' name. I just started resisting. I started doing the opposite of what I felt like doing, which was just go close my eyes. My eyes felt so heavy. It felt so heavy. I just wanted to go lie down. I resisted it. And you know, my head just cleared right up. Just cleared right up. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Thank God we don't have to be lazy. We don't have to be bound by laziness. It's demonic oppression. We don't have to ever lose heart. Why? Because we have faith in God. No matter what the circumstances we try to dictate to us, no matter how hopeless it may look, no matter how helpless you may look, we got God. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So we have to stir ourselves in remembrance of who's with us. God is with us. God is for us. God's our help. I might not do everything right. I might mess up totally, but that's okay. God's bigger than me. He'll make the crooked places straight. Praise God forever. He'll turn everything around for my good and his glory. He'll cause even my mistakes to prosper. Amen. Have faith in God. He's the God of all hope. So there's never an excuse for us to get into hopelessness so that we're over here bound by laziness. Psalm 27, verse 13 says, I would have lost heart. In other words, I would have become a victim of laziness unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Abner's dead. That's all right. Bless God. God's not. God's not dead. He's still alive. Regardless of what has happened, regardless of what's going on, regardless of how bad things may look, God is for me. And I'm going to see his goodness in the land of the living. Praise God. I'm going to see it with my physical eyes because I see it with my heart. I see it with the eyes of my spirit. Hopelessness is loss of spiritual vision. When a person gets over into hopelessness, they lose heart. It's because their spiritual eyes are closed. And if your spiritual eyes are closed, then your physical eyes are going to start feeling heavy and want to close too. A lot of times we just have to get our spiritual eyes open and then our eyes, physical eyes, won't be so heavy. Some of you are struggling with that tonight. Right? If we can get our spiritual eyes open, then our physical eyes won't be so heavy where we just want to lie down. We just want to draw the blinds. We just want to go into a dark room. We just want to go to sleep. I just want to go to sleep. I just want to forget about it all. Got to get our spirit eyes open. What do you mean? That the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That God would show us things. That we would begin to receive revelation from him. That we would revive the vision that God has already given to us. I remember when I was out in Oklahoma. And I was going to an afternoon meeting. Every day they had these afternoon meetings, and I'd go to it. And, people were getting excited, and the Holy Spirit seemed to be moving, and people were fired up. And I was standing there in the back thinking, praise God. And I mean, people are just jumping and dancing, and people seem to be experiencing the power of God. And I'm just sitting there taking it all in, thinking, praise God, you know. I wasn't feeling anything. I didn't feel like dancing. Didn't feel bad or anything. I just didn't feel like dancing or anything. But I was just taking it all in, excited for everybody else, you know. And then the devil came along and he spoke into my ear. And he said, these people are spiritual. They're tapping into the power of God. But look at you. You're just a flesh creature. You don't belong here. I just blew that right off. That was on Monday. On Tuesday, the same thing happened. Man, they started getting the band going, and the music was jamming, and people started jumping in the Holy Ghost and dancing and spinning and laughing, and I mean, falling down under the power of God. I thought, praise God. And that voice came again to my head and said, these people are spiritual. They're tapping into the power of God, but look at you. You're just a flesh creature. You don't belong here. Well, I shook that off again on Tuesday. Wednesday, it happened again. But now it started to sink in. You know, I'm not feeling anything. This is day number three. I'm not experiencing what these people are experiencing. Why are they experiencing it? I'm not experiencing it. Well, the devil told me. It's because you're a flesh creature. You don't belong here. Well, day four. I walked in. It started happening again. They were having a great move of the spirit. And the devil came along. He said, these people are spiritual. They're tapping into the power of God. But look at you, you're just a flesh. Just exactly those words. You're just a flesh creature. You don't belong here. Well, I believed him. I lost all hope. I mean, I lost all hope. I picked up my little briefcase with my books, and I just started walking for the door. I mean, my hands were dropped. I just felt lazy and tired. I felt exhausted as I'm headed for the door. But just about ready to open the door, a girl in an electric wheelchair went flying past me. She is just getting blessed out of her socks. I thought, dear God, I got problems. I left. I'm not feeling a thing, you know. So I started heading towards my car, walking across campus. And as I'm walking across the campus, the Spirit of God spoke to me, thank God. He said, come into the park and I'll talk to you. And I said out loud, I said, no. I mean, I could hardly open my mouth. I was so tired. I said, no, I'll just go home and pray. He said, no, you won't. You're going to go home, go to sleep, and it's just going to get worse. And he was right. I was ready to go home and just turn out the lights. The party was over for me. He said, no, it's only going to get worse. I said, all right. All right. I turned. I started walking towards the bench, you know. And as I walk towards the bench, it just seemed like, you know, there's people in the park praying and worshiping God. One woman walks by. Seems like she had a white flowing gown on. You know, she just, I thought, dear Lord. Everybody just seems so heavenly, you know. Look at me, just a flesh creature. I just felt so fleshy. I went over, I sat on the bench, I pulled my tie off. I said, Lord. I said, sometimes I come to you and you're Lord. And I'll get on my knees and I'll lift up my hands to you. I said, and sometimes I come to you and you're God. I said, but right now, you're my father and I'm your son. And we need to have a father and son talk. In other words, I didn't feel anything spiritual. I wasn't going to give him any praise. I didn't want to praise him. I didn't feel spiritual enough to praise him. I mean, I had lost all hope. You understand? I mean, the hope was just taken right out of me. The life was taken right out of me. My faith was gone. But thank God he got me into the park. Who knows what would have happened if I didn't go to the park? He said it would have gotten worse. What does that mean? I don't know what would have happened. But anyway, thank God I went into the park, had my Bible next to me. I just flipped it open. I looked down at Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. I opened up to verse 10 and said, the strength of the laborers is failing. And there's so much rubbish, we're not able to finish the wall. They were trying to build a wall. And Congress, I mean, and they had lots of adversity trying to stop them from building the wall. And that would be a great example right there. I mean, the adversity that was coming, and they were trying to get them into fear. You read Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. I mean, the fear that was coming against them, the harassment, all these things to try to discourage the Jewish people from building this wall. And thank God they overcame it. So God brought me to that. He said, the strength of the laborers is failing. I knew he was talking about me. It was me. I was going down. And there's so much rubbish. You got your eyes on all these things, everybody else. You've got your eyes off of me. You've got your eyes off of me. That's why you're sinking. You're sinking in depression and hopelessness and laziness. You're losing your strength and your will to go on and do anything. I saw it immediately. My eyes, my spirit opened up. I started getting revelation. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation came in there, woke me right back up. My physical eyes woke up. Man, I just started praising God. I was completely set free, totally delivered, just because of God's word. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God he got my attention. Thank God I turned aside, got in the word of God, turned to him, and allowed him to open my spiritual vision. We have to understand that. We've lost our vision. When we lost hope, we've lost our spiritual vision. And the Bible says that without a vision, the people perish. That's actually in the King James, Proverbs 29, verse 18, in the original King James Version. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The New King James, which I usually read from, says it this way: where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Isn't that interesting? They cast off restraint. What do you mean? They cast off self-control and self-discipline. They lose their discipline. They just don't restrain their flesh anymore. They just give in to whatever. They just yield to whatever because they've lost their vision. And that's why people get fleshy. People get lazy. They don't discipline themselves. They don't take control of their body. They don't resist the devil. They don't do what it takes to excel in every area of life. They don't excel. They don't abound because they're lazy. Why are they lazy? Why don't they have the energy? Why don't they have the strength? I know I should, but I just don't have it. because their spiritual eyes are closed. They have no vision, or they're losing their vision spiritually. And that's causing them physically to get tired and worn out and not have a vision to do anything special, to have excellence and excel in every area of life. They don't have the energy to do it. They need vision. They need vision. Without vision, the people perish. Without revelation, the people cast off restraint. They don't have any restraint. They don't have any self-control. Do you see that? So what do we need to do? We know what we need to do. We need to take authority over the devil. We need to resist him. And we need to get revelation from God. Get revelation. And we have received revelation from God. We've got to remind ourselves. But that's why we need to continue to hear from God. We need to continue to feed upon his word. We need to continue to go to him, look to him, and get revelation from him about whatever it is we're facing in life, because God will bring us out of it. I would have lost hope if I did not believe that I would see with my heart, see with my physical eyes, but see with my heart first, that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Good days are ahead, folks. Hallelujah. Your life is worth disciplining. I said your life is worth disciplining and exercising self-control and doing whatever it takes to have it, because you can have it. I said you can have it. God's got great things ahead for all of us. Can you say amen? So people can lose heart and vision because of hopelessness, but they could also lose heart and vision by becoming prideful and satisfied with themselves. This is another thing that triggers a spirit of laziness in a person's life. And we see an example of it over in 2 Samuel chapter 11 with another king, King David. Now he's been king for quite a while. And notice what it says here in 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now, David has really established his kingdom. He's built himself a nice palace. He's got a strong military. And it says here in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, now, it came to pass in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, when they go to work, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David remained in Jerusalem. Notice, David remained in Jerusalem. He hung out, decided he wasn't going to go out to work. He wasn't going to go out to battle, even though it was the time. It was the time when kings go to battle. It was time to go to work. And he didn't go. He decided he was going to lounge around the palace rather than go to work. Well, what was the result? Well, the next thing you know, he gets into sin. He falls into temptation. He has a moral failure. Why does he have a moral failure? Because of laziness, which attached itself to him because of pride. He thought, hey, I don't need to go to work. Somebody else can do it. I don't have to go out on the battlefield. And so he just didn't go. When he was supposed to go, he should have been on that battlefield. But he didn't go. And pride was at the root of that. And laziness caused him to just stay around, lounge around, and as a result of that, the battle came to him. The battle came to him, and the sin that he fell into, which was adultery, ended up costing him the lives of his children. It cost him all kinds of problems. See, laziness will promise you rest, but it will bring you nothing but problems. It will cause you to have total unrest. So people think, well, I'm just going to be lazy. I'm not going to work. I'm just not going to do anything. And they think that they're escaping work, when actually life's going to get only harder for you. Laziness makes life harder for people. So instead of him going out to the battle and be able to get this easy victory, this was an easy victory, he had a battle at home that he would end up fighting for the rest of his life. It would cost him problems for the rest of his life. So doing what's right may seem hard at times. Going out on a battlefield might seem hard, you know, but it's the right thing to do. But it's a whole lot easier than doing the wrong thing. It's always going to be harder to do the wrong thing than it is to do the right thing, even though it seems like it's so hard to do the right thing. Do the right thing. Don't try to take the easy way out by going the wrong way. By doing the wrong thing, it's never the easy way. The wrong way is never the easy way. Boy, that's something to get a hold of right there. That was worth coming for right there. The wrong way is never the easy way. You're making it harder for yourself. You're making life tougher for yourself. You're bringing the battle right into your bedroom, right into your home, right into your life. Go out and fight the battles you're called to fight. Rise up, resist. Exercise self-control, discipline yourself, do what it takes, because ultimately it's a whole lot easier than being lazy and not doing anything. Laziness is going to be a lot harder, and you never win. There's never an end to it. There's never a victory at the end. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24 says, "The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor." The lazy man will be put to forced labor. That's where a lot of people are today. They only work because they have to. They're forced to. They have to be to the work on time because there's somebody standing over them watching them. There's a paycheck at stake here. There's a job at stake here. There's a customer at stake here. There's people. And so I have to do it. It's not because they choose to do it, they want to do it. It's because they're forced to do it. That sounds like slavery. You and I aren't to live like slaves. The hand of the diligent rules. He's the master. He leads the way in everything. He does what he does because he has a servant's heart. He does what he does because he wants to serve. He willingly gets up, disciplines himself, and will go beyond what's even asked of him. Because he's of a diligent spirit. He's not controlled by a spirit of laziness. Daniel the prophet distinguished himself, the Bible says, because he had an excellent spirit in him. He had an excellent spirit in him. He didn't have this lazy, lethargic spirit of heaviness. He had an excellent spirit in him. And as a result, what happened? He distinguished himself. He just kept rising up in prominence in his workplace before the king. Right? He just continued to have favor with God and man. He just continued to excel in every area of life. That's how you and I are to live. If we're going to excel in life, we can't allow laziness to control our lives. We've got to be diligent. If we're going to rule in life, we got to take control of our life. We got to be willing to get up, fight, do it. Doesn't matter if nobody's watching. I don't do it because people are watching. I'm not doing it because I feel forced to do it. I do it because I want to do it. I choose to do it because an excellent spirit is in me. Because I want to be the best. I want to excel. I want to fulfill what God has called me to do. I only get one shot down here. I don't want to leave here disappointed. I want to know I ran my race and I finished it. I accomplished what God's called me to do. Don't you want to do that? Or do you just want to just exist and I'll just whatever happens, happens, lazy? That is lazy. Whatever happens, happens is the voice of laziness. Well, you just never know, you know, just stuff happens. You know, whatever God wants to do, he can do it. Lazy. It's a spirit of laziness. Think how much of that is in the body of Christ. It's a spirit of laziness. It's got people not going, well, if God wants to do it, he'll. Now, what are you going to do? He wants you to excel. He wants you to excel. Well, I've tried so many times. I've tried so many times. Pastor, you just don't understand. I've just been stuck in this position for years. Okay, hopeless. Let's get your spiritual eyes open. Why are you losing heart? We're talking about God here. If God be for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Your past means nothing when God's in your future. If God's in your future, what is your past? It's past. Let's go on. Man, I'm getting old. You got eternity, friend. You're going to be around forever. We've already passed from death to life. Let's go make it happen. Let's excel. Let's excel. We're called to excel in everything, in every area of life. Get a vision for your life. Get a vision for your life, for your spiritual life with God, your relationship with him. Get a vision. Man, I want to walk with him like Enoch walked with him. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? You just get so close to him that you don't even die. You never even taste death. You just disappear. Step right over into the realm of glory. Huh? Maybe a chariot will come and get me. Sorry, you'll miss out on a nice funeral. But I'm going out of here in a blaze of glory. Why not? Think big. Shine bright. Let's go for it, man. Let's walk with God like Moses did. Let's excel spiritually. Let's excel morally. Let's have incredible integrity and honor. I want to be honorable to the core. I want to fulfill my ministry calling. Physically, mentally, socially, material, recreational. Let's develop and grow in every area of life. Get a vision for every area of your life and write the vision down. Write the vision down. Get a vision of these things. Put it in front of you. And know this is what I'm going for. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not in this thing alone. Aren't you glad you're not alone? You're not doing this on your own. You're doing it with the spirit of diligence. The Holy Spirit. That excellent spirit. You have him. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you can do it. Can you say amen? So praise God. Take your cat naps. Get enough rest. And then resist the devil. And don't let him stop you. You understand the difference between just being a little tired and a little fatigued. And it's been a long day. And, you know, and the weather's changing. And, okay, fine. Nevertheless, our hands are not dropped. We're not in this hopeless state. Right? We got a vision for our life. I said we got a vision for our life. Praise God. We got the strength of God. And we're going to resist anything that try to oppress us and hold us down and make us feel heavy and worthless and unable to do it. We're going to resist it. Cast it out. And do not be cast into a deep sleep. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody say, I got the victory over laziness. It will not rule me. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.